Let me introduce you to our latest sponsor, the Andre Law Firm. Andre Law can represent you or your business in a variety of civil and commercial matters. Do you have a client that has proven difficult to collect from? Andre Law also specializes in collection law and can expedite your collection on judgments from your defaulting clients. The principal of Andre Law Firm is Tony Andre, a North Miami native with years of experience representing businesses and individuals throughout the state of Florida. Based in Aventura, you can give him a call at 786-708-0813 or visit his website at andrelaw.com. Again, give Andre Law a call at 786-708-0813 to set up your consultation. Let me introduce you to another sponsor to the podcast, U-Break Wheel Repair and Remanufacturing Company. Tired of your wheels? Give your car a new and refreshed look by powder coating them a new color. Even make it Heat, Hurricanes, or Dolphins colors. Wheels faded and scratched? Renew them with our in-house wheel refinishing. They'll also repair cracked and bent rims while also offering in-home service. They also offer powder coating and full metal finishing of many other metal items such as outdoor furniture. U-Break Wheel Fix has 15 years experience based right here in North Miami. You can check out a gallery of their work on Instagram at U, that's the letter U, Break Wheel Fix. That is U, Break Wheel, W-H-E-E-L, Fix. For information, call 305-748-0112, or you can also visit them on the web at ubreakwheelfix.com. That number again is 305-748-0112.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and welcome to another edition of 3 Yards Per Carry, an edition of which would be the last until the end of the month when, hypothetically, camp should start, and I may or may not be at camp. All depends on the NFL and the Miami Dolphins, but that's for another day. But for now, I have Chris Kaufman here. We were supposed to have Simon, but Simon might have fell asleep, maybe? I think,
you know, anytime he doesn't show up, I just assume that he's got COVID again.
I don't think that that's possible. It could be.
I think he can get reinfected and reinfected and reinfected 4 times. I think that's what we're going on here. We're working on that.
But we've learned the last few weeks that for whatever reason, and I think it was a good reason, last year, we took almost the entire month of July off.
Yeah, for very good reason. We should have learned.
Yes. So we're doing that thing because really there's nothing going on, people. Okay? Like occasionally,
not a thing.
Occasionally Tua shows up at Davey and throws a football around with Preston Williams. And that seems
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? Like that's... Yeah. Like, that's as much of excitement as what's going on right now. You know what I mean?
Here's what's happened. I'm doing the podcast right here in 30 seconds. Patrick Mahomes signed a monster deal, 10 years, and he's going to get paid like $500 million over yes. the 10 years. That's one thing. That's out of the way. What's his name? The old head. Who am I thinking of? Gil Brandt tweeted something interesting that the Ivy League have decided to move their football season, their college football season, to spring when they would normally do spring ball and probably a truncated like conference schedule. And Gil actually tweeted that he expects a lot of the other college football conferences, including the major conferences, to follow suit and just to cancel fall college football and move it to the spring, have a shortened season, and then try and circle back and do a full season in the fall. So that's the second interesting thing. The other thing is, Kanye West is running for president, and
I got one. The Notre Dame football program. It's evidently the cleanest program in the history of football because they keep testing everybody and nobody ever gets COVID over there.
And Clemson, on the other hand, is not clean. Everybody has lots and lots of COVID over there.
So I guess Notre Dame is going to be the national champion this year, huh?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's fair to say. Hamilton is on and then canceled, and then the Hamilton cancel got canceled too. So, yes. So now I think it's back on again. And
other news that is circulating its way through the NFL and through,
of Twitter. Course, how could I forget there's a rumor that the Trump aides are looking to break the Hong Kong US dollar peg. So,
yes. Oh, and of course, Deshaun Watson quoted Adolf Hitler today.
Don't say Deshaun Watson. Don't put that evil on him.
Oh,
that,
not Deshaun this Watson.
Was,
I'm sorry.
This was Deshaun Jackson. Deshaun. You apologize to Deshaun Watson
I
now.
I apologize to Deshaun Watson. Besides, I was a huge fan of Deshaun Watson. I wanted him drafted.
Yes, exactly.
I had Deshaun Watson on my mind because I was just reading something right here that they're saying that he can be the next $500 million man.
Yeah, possibly. I think that... Well, it, you know, interesting idea because they got drafted in the same draft, obviously, and not too far apart from one another. Both have been wildly successful, obviously. They were the same draft, right? Yeah, this was. Yeah, of course. Both wildly successful. I think Mahomes, obviously, a little more.
So was Mitchell Trubisky, wildly successful as well.
Right. We were. I was just debating this with. I was just debating this with somebody. Who made more millionaires, Apple or Andy Reid?
Wow, that's a good one, right?
It's a tough one, right? It's a tough. Yeah. It's a toughie. You have to stop. You have to stop and think about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, Apple was somewhere around 147, if I remember my documentary correctly.
Yeah, but how many millionaires do you think Andy Reid has made?
Easily.
I mean, not counting defense. Obviously, not counting defense.
Oh, okay. On offense. You know what? Yeah, it could be offense. Over 147. And, yeah. Including one that quoted Hitler.
Yeah, that's true. Well, they can't all be brain surgeons.
Yeah. You know, it's such an easy rule to follow in life. You know, never quote Hitler. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You'd think so.
I don't know why you would wake up in the morning and say, you know what? This is a great idea to put on Instagram.
Yeah, definitely. I don't wake up and think that, like, go to my Rolodex of Hitler quotes and say, you know, is today the day? No, I don't think so.
Well, anyway, we're running a promotion on the network with one of our sponsors, You Break Wheel Fix, and you're waiting for the first name of a Dolphin player. I'm not going to say it right now, so I'm going to force you to listen to most of the episode, and I'll say it sometime toward the end, or not, or maybe I'll say it in between questions.
Or maybe we already did.
Or maybe we already did. Exactly. Okay.
Wrap your head around that one.
We're going to do this thing where everybody produces the show for us because I got nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
No, it's not that we have nothing. It's that the NFL has nothing. Now, the NFL had something, and I just went over it all in 30 seconds. And then I started getting into really, really obscure macro stuff.
Yes, exactly. And right now I'm reading about Logan Swanson. Draft prospect, okay, from Augustana. I didn't know what the hell Augustana it was, but evidently he's a good draft prospect.
Who?
Exactly. Logan okay. Swanson, defensive line.
Okay. Is that it? Are we supposed to comment on that and that person?
No.
Okay, no. Good. Thank God.
Okay, here's some questions, all right? And I picked out a pretty good batch. We got like 8 million questions, so I just picked out 6 because it's going to be a short episode. And remember to listen for that first name of a Dolphins player sometime during all of this. And this question is from Raul Escarpio at Catholic Ed for All. What does Coach Flores have to accomplish this year to be considered a top 5 NFL coach?
Oh, that has to be at least the playoffs and deep into the playoffs. Really? If he gets deep into the playoffs, very deep, like, to make that kind of splash. Listen, this is only his second year. To make that kind of splash, he's going to have obviously taken on a team that was tanking and all that jazz, and then, you know, the next year you clearly won more games than a lot of people thought that they should have in the first year, so that's off to a pretty good start. But to be like top 5 in the NFL at this moment, like, he's going to have to be in conference championship at least.
Yeah. As it turned out last year, he was plus 3 because he was pick'em against the Bengals at home. He was a favorite, I believe, against the the Washington team. So that's a negative right there because they lost. So, yeah, he gained about three wins. So, like, let's say the expectation is eight. Yeah, man, if he gains three wins again this year, that's 11. Then he could win Coach of the Year if he gets 11. Now, top five, I don't know.
This year?
It's a rough group.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a rough group. So you're saying that if he won 11 games last year, he could have gotten coach. And if he won 11 games last year, he'd
not this year. I'd say if he wins 11 games this year, he gets coach.
I don't think he gets coach of the year if he wins 11 games this year.
Really?
I don't think that's true. No, I don't think that.
Well, I think 11 games in the AFC East wins him the division.
I think last year would have. Keep in mind, we, you know, Tony Sperano won to get coach of the year. No, to get half of the coach of the year award. Mm-hmm. He took a 1-15 team and made them 11-5 and won the division away from the Patriots. Okay, yes. That's and did it by unleashing the Wildcat on the NFL. So that got him half of the Coach of the Year award. He got a Mike Smith in Atlanta got it as well. Or they like shared it. It was like co-coach of the year or something like weird like that. Yeah, so no. Brian Flores getting coach of the year this year for 11 wins? No. They're going to give it to whoever wins the Super Bowl, or, you know, maybe if one of the teams in the Super Bowl was kind of not a great team before, then maybe that guy gets coach of the year. No, there's no way Brian Flores. Listen, it's deep in the playoffs. Let's set our standards what actual NFL teams set their standards to. And stop being Dolphins. Deep in the playoffs is success. Is you're talking about Brian Flores being regarded as a good coach. Deep in the playoffs several times over the next couple of years, and then you start to have the conversation about, like, you know, top five or something like that.
Yeah.
Let's not handicap them.
Yeah, okay. And top five is a tough group if you think about it. Belichick, Sean Payton.
Sure. I mean,
I'm a big fan of Zimmer in Minnesota. I know
I'm a big fan of Andy Reid, even though, like, and only
Andy Reid's probably the second best coach.
Yeah. I mean, only until just now that he got, you know, he got the Super Bowl, but I mean, he's been a
Shanahan, fantastic coach. You know, and are we out on the kid McVay? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess we're no longer. You know, we're no longer counting him. Like, he was flash in the pan.
Yeah. And then you still have the Grudens, you know?
Yeah.
And
I will say that if Brian Flores gets in deep into the playoffs, I wanted to say if he gets deep into the playoffs by, you know, having a dominant defense, mm-hmm. you know, because that's his special, that's what he's supposed to be doing, right? He's here to give us a Patriots, you know, thinking man's defense and all that jazz. If he creates a dominant defense here, helps create a dominant defense here, then maybe he gets a little more recognition than he otherwise would. But it's still tough for me to start saying, like, top five or something like that. Like, then win the Super Bowl. Win the Super Bowl, and then maybe.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, as far as any awards, I say I'll repeat what I said before. Tua Tagovailoa leads this team to the playoffs, and he's the reason they're in the playoffs. I think he wins Rookie of the Year.
I think that's true. Okay, I think that can be true. Offensive rookie O'Roy. I think he can get O'Roy by leading a formerly 5-11 team into the playoffs the next year as a rookie quarterback. I think that can happen. Mm-hmm. Right. But will it happen? Two preseason games. So
I don't know. Keep that in mind. And the players want none. And the players want no.
Yeah, the players want no part of the preseason, but they usually never do. But still, you know, is that enough? That's going to be rough, man.
Because we were counting on having the full complement of preseason games. So then we could get a good look at
I wasn't Tua. Counting on it. I was just, you know, like, we're speaking in hypotheticals. So, like, right. If this were a normal preseason and training camp and so on and so forth, then the chances of him walking out into week one and, like, this kid's the best we have and he should be playing. I think we're higher than many people were saying. many people were thinking, way higher than many people were thinking. But this is not going to be a normal offseason. It's not going to be a normal training camp and not going to be a normal preseason.
No.
So, you know, who really knows at that point? I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is part of the vulnerable COVID population, right? He's elderly.
Yes, he is.
Massive beard. I think that's a risk factor.
Yes.
So eats cake. So I think that, I think that you have to watch out there. But yeah, seriously, I would still take the under on whatever people are setting the over under as for which week we see Tua Tagovailoa start at quarterback. I will always pretty much always take the under. But two preseason games really damages the idea that it's going to be week one, or that it could be week one. Not that it was ever going to be for sure week one. It's just like that really damages the possibility.
Yeah.
Still could be though.
Yeah.
You know, never know.
Although somebody was posting a meme earlier today comparing the first seven games of Preston Williams this year and the first seven games of DeAndre Hopkins, and Preston Williams was better.
Yeah.
So if we believe all of these reports where it's basically just Tua and Preston Williams just throwing the ball back and forth, then maybe those numbers could get a lot bigger.
You know, it's interesting because one of the first players that I really compared him to when he was coming out, when I took a look at it, you know, because it wasn't until we signed him undrafted that I took a look at him really for the first time, I'll be honest. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that night that we signed him, I took a look at him and really, and after just a night of watching every single game that I could, which luckily I had a bunch of his games already on file because of other players that I had been looking at on Colorado. When I did, I thought he was the second best player that we acquired all offseason. But one of the first players I compared him to was DeAndre Hopkins. He reminded me of him. And so I thought that's interesting.
I thought he was a longer, leaner Dez Bryant is what I thought when I looked at him.
To me, he doesn't have Dez Bryant's run after catch. Dez Bryant had like, especially coming out of college, he was just like dynamic. Remember, he was like return man extraordinaire. And yes. And whereas Preston Williams, we start putting him on returns and as a rookie and we're like, no, that's not – we probably shouldn't be doing that. I think Dez Bryant was more like, you know, for that size, he's return man extraordinaire. That's what actually, you know, Nuke Hopkins was never a big run after catch dude to me.
No.
And this was one of the reasons that I actually compared Preston to him. They reminded me of each other, resembled to one another in that way. But Preston's for real, man. Remember, Devontae Parker was ordinary for the season, for half of the season, until Preston Parker got injured and every single ball started going toward Parker.
Yeah, Parker was, I would say, complementary to the number one, which was...
Number one was Preston Williams.
Yes, absolutely. And by the way, there's your code. Preston is your code word.
Okay,
next question. Arturo Aguirre, I guess that's or Aguirre, at Turo 23, he writes, David Njoku, yay or nay? Also, what would the Dolphins have to trade to get him? I would say they would have to trade maybe a fourth or fifth. This is trying to go in the bargain bin and hopefully you can find a jewel. But he's not really necessary, is he? Chris, would you?
No. I don't know what it takes to get him because sometimes you just don't know what the team that has them is willing to accept. But the Dolphins would only be interested in him if it's a bargain basement situation. He's really desperate to move back down to Miami and, you know, play for the Miami Dolphins and, you know, on a very low risk approach. They already have, I mean, I do like David and Joe. I'm not trying to say anything negative about him. It's just not appropriate given the situation that the Dolphins are in. with who they have and Mike Gesicki and the system that they have otherwise. You know, it could happen. It could happen for a cheap price. It's not going to happen at a trade price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I was watching a little bit of Changeli, which is to say that I was watching that season again in New York, namely because Ryan Fitzpatrick was there. So mm-hmm. I've been watching a lot of those games, and something that he liked to do, he liked to run a lot of combination routes with the slot and the Y tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Is we know what Gesicki can and can't do.
Mm-hmm.
How versatile is David Njoku?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, if there's an injury, maybe. I don't know. But
I would say O.J. Howard would be the better target. No? Am I right or wrong? Going to trade for a tight end somewhere.
I would think so, but I don't think a tight end is going to be a target, period, for a valuable, you know, asset. Trading in a valuable asset for a tight end in this offense, probably not happening. That's my guess. I think as things, you know, already you got to go back to Changeli with Tony Gonzalez or Changeli with Quincy Anunua, who was, as I said last week, a hybrid tight end wide receiver slash H-back. You really got to go back and find places where Changeli used a dude like this, and he has. But otherwise, it's like, I don't know. Right. So they're not spend assets on this. No, it's not. Again, if something falls in their lap for free, that's a different story. But otherwise, no, I just don't see it.
Now, here's an interesting one. Okay, Connors at Lee Connolly 1 writes, does a curtailing of the offseason mean the O-line will be just as bad as last season given the lack of time to gel?
Very possible.
Well, I saw the practice schedule. I don't know if you saw this, Chris. They had they posted a practice schedule, what the NFLPA wants to do,
mm-hmm.
and that looks legitimate, except for the part where all of a sudden they were cutting down to 14 padded practices total before they actually start playing live games. I don't get that.
Yeah, it's going to be rough. It is going to be rough because, you know, the biggest pain point is Austin Jackson at left tackle. And, you know, they're obviously also going to work Hunt at right tackle. But I could see him having early success before I could see Austin Jackson having early success. So,
yeah, and by the way, let me tell you, just before any of our listeners start thinking, well, you know, just go out there and cheat and have 40 padded practices. You can't. They have NFLPA monitors at every single practice.
Oh yeah, man, they're going to have like these. They're going to have these like sci-fi futuristic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Wristbands or whatever on these guys to let them know when they're getting in proximity to one another. I mean, you don't think they know exactly what kind of practice schedule everybody's keeping? I mean, this is Big Brother, dude. That's out of the question. I think there's a decent chance you're going to see a lot of bad offensive line play in the NFL this year. And you're just going to have to deal with it. And maybe that's one more thing to drop in the bucket of starting Ryan Fitzpatrick is like, you know, I don't want Tua to be, you know, sacrificed as a rookie in this shit year that's about to happen. So, you know, not that I'm saying the Dolphins are going to, I think it's going to be a shit year for NFL football in general. For many reasons, I think a lot of players are just going to get knocked off of their rhythm, their game, their you know, these guys are creatures of habit, as Ethan said last week. It could be a shit show. Maybe you do sacrifice Fitzpatrick for this year and not stick to it and give him a cleaner year. I don't know, but it's going to be tougher when Brian Flores is like, well, I just need to fucking win football games, dude. Who's my best guy? And it's like, well, Tua's throwing these strikes in practice. And we've seen Ryan Fitzpatrick in practice, right?
Yeah.
There are times he's brilliant, just like amazing. And then there's times it's like, ooh.
You remember last year in the WhatsApp chat, I was
frick was
you,
that?
What the hell is this guy doing out here? Yeah. This is the best quarterback I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, he's like Brett Favre throwing Brett Favre meets, you know, Allen Iverson or something like that. Like he's at times in practice, and then it's
he
like
made
other
a throw
times,
last
like,
year. He made a throw. Ooh. I think I told you about it. He made a throw last year, rolling to his left, where he just like it looked like he was throwing it away, and it somehow found Preston Williams tiptoeing the sideline like 38 yards down the field.
Yeah,
and I was like, who the hell makes that throw? And I wasn't joking. And I told you on WhatsApp, I think Mahomes makes that throw and nobody else. Yeah. It's just something that he just pulled out of his ass. He's capable of doing things like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's not really arm talent. It's just pure bravado.
yes. Yes. Because if you ask him to do it twice, he can't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Although Mahomes might, you know.
If well, Mahomes do it.
He could do it.
Mahomes do it 9 times out of 10, but yeah. I think that it's going to be interesting. Well, what's interesting is the policies that the NFL set forth with respect to the camp is you're only allowed so many pool reporters to view practice. So don't count on us being there necessarily. And also. You're not allowed to tweet from practice. You're basically not allowed to report on practice. You're allowed to say so-and-so practiced today. Stop. Like, yes. That's it. And it's like, holy shit, guys. Like,
you're supposed to sound like the, did you ever see the, you saw Major League, right? When, two announcers.
And, oh yeah. Yeah.
And the guy passes out and all of a sudden the color commentator is like lost. And
yeah.
He's like hit.
And.
Caught.
He hit the ball and he caught it. Yes. You know, it's like that's the reporting that the NFL wants you to do on the practices. Like, you're not allowed to say anything about what kind of play it was or you know, what formation they're working out of, or you know, anything. Who's working what kind of personnel groups to, you know, and who's looking like who's going to start and stuff. Yeah, like
and to think
that
two,
say shit.
Yeah,
it's
and to
awful.
Think that, yeah, to think that 2 years ago I was putting up animations of their plays.
Oh, I know.
Running, remember?
Yeah, I remember. And so yeah, it's just awful. It's really the NFL. They're really going way beyond this time with this new set of rules. I get so sick of these assholes acting like they're putting men on the moon.
Yes.
I mean, they are acting like they are in a nuclear fucking arms race, and this is the Cold War all over again. It's life and death. It's, you know, the fate and the balance of the world is in their hands, and this is what this is. It's a fucking game, dude. Someday we're going to look, you know, they're going to look back and they're saying, well, where did your season really go wrong, Brian Flores? Well, I think it was when Alfredo Arteaga tweeted from camp on August, August 16th. And, yeah. And he really, you know, he gave away.
He completely exposed. So
yeah,
a strong side
gave
run
away,
that we were working on.
Absolutely. He gave away this strong side run that we were working on. And it's just went tits up from there.
Yeah,
you know.
By the way, 2 years ago,
get over yourselves, guys. Get the fuck over yourselves.
When I animated that play, it was a design pass to Kenyon Drake. Remember?
Yeah, I remember.
They ran that play 3 times all season.
Yeah, exactly.
One time it went for a touchdown. The other 2 times for one for a short gain. The other one intercepted in Cincinnati. But yeah, one time it did go for a touchdown.
Just insane. These guys are such assholes.
If you want to know which play it was the touchdown against the Colts that Kenyon Drake ran in. That was it. It was that design pass.
You know who probably annoys me even more than the NFL guy who is like, you know, don't report anything from on what's going on. You know, just, you know, don't give away secrets and stuff. You know who probably annoys me more is NFL fan guy that is like, well, I don't want to know about that. I don't want you to give away any of their secrets. Like, you could just tell me that Preston Williams practiced today and that he might have caught a pass, and that's fine with me.
Yeah.
I'll find out during the games.
Or the guy that would directly blame me for actually blowing a game or something. Like,
yeah, right.
As if Bill Belichick is listening to this podcast and saying, okay, I got it now. All right.
Well,
he's going to call his son, you know, the defensive coordinator now, and tell him, look out for this. And this is how we're going to beat them. All right.
Well, I was listening to the 3 Yards Per Carry podcast, and, you know, Alfredo Arteaga explained this one play. And,
yeah, you know, exactly.
We obviously, we capped it and studied it. And, you know, it's just football. And that's what we did.
Oh, boy. All right. Another question. And this is Phil Riveron, not the real Phil Riveron, but this guy. Sure. You know, if Phil Riveron is sending us questions, it would be pretty cool.
Okay. Phil Riveron is 12th kid.
Yeah. And it's at Phil_Riv. And he writes, how big of a disadvantage is it being a young team in a pandemic altered season? How does this change their roster management strategy this year? Now that one's interesting.
That's a good one.
Has the NFL, maybe I'm completely ignorant on this, has the NFL even mentioned carrying 60, 70 players this season?
No, I haven't seen anything about it. Like, I think it's still 53. I heard there might be an expansion of their practice squad.
Yes, I did hear something like that.
But I also heard that it's like they might bring fewer people than 90 to camp. Mm-hmm. And in exchange, get a bigger practice squad. So, like,
well, today, you know, we have a local example of how this can work, maybe. And that's DJJ, Derek Jones Jr. Of the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
He was diagnosed with COVID 2 weeks ago. He was cleared to practice today. So,
yeah, he was. 14. Well, he's one of the lucky ones. There's one of the, you know, 40. If you don't get any symptoms and stuff like that, then, or you have very few symptoms, then you're going to be good to go pretty soon. But if you start getting, like, Rudy Gobert is like, I'm still not right.
Yeah.
And not just, like, not right with Donovan Mitchell.
His feelings are also hurt, you know?
Yeah, well.
He's also complaining about Donovan Mitchell not passing to him off the pick and roll.
Yeah, well, you know, he's all up in his lungs are damaged and so are his feels. But,
yes,
you know, that's still. If you're lucky, then you got, like, nothing like that going on. But, ask Simon, he's like, I'm still not right, man.
Yeah.
And Simon, like, bike rides like something like 500 miles a week. That's an exaggeration. It's more like 600. But yeah, so Simon, like, he's still not right. I mean, he's explained it like in detail on Twitter before in response to some questions. And it's like, you know, yeah, I mean, if you get those. It's great if you're one of those no symptoms people and it's like 2 weeks. All I'm doing is waiting for a negative test or a couple of string of negative tests and then I can go back. That's cool. A lot of players aren't going to be like that.
Hmm. Yeah. All I can say is the bubble works. Quarantining works. If you social distance, you wear masks around other people, you dedicate yourself to football. And nobody's out there at bars and then bringing the Rona back into the locker room, you should be okay. The only thing is that we're also, you know, we're counting on a lot of people to pull their weight.
You're going to get compliance on that front, I'm sure.
You know what I mean? So I think that would bode well to be the optimist. Let me be the optimist here. I think it would bode well for the Miami Dolphins since they have a very young team. Maybe Brian Flores can put the fear of God into them and tell them, you bring the Rona into this locker room and I'll find the hell out of you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think that in terms of like stamina and freshness and stuff like that, being a young team would help you weather like a bunch of rolling issues with guys coming in and out of the roster, but at the same time, like all that experience and chemistry with one another, I think that's where I would prefer to be, is to have an established offense that's been together for a couple of years with guys together that have been running it together. You know, that's probably where I'd rather be. But that's not where the Dolphins are. So no use crying about it. So,
yeah. All right. Final question. John Crimes at L Twitter is his screen name. He writes, best three characteristics of this staff that suggest Arrow might be up going forward.
Well, it's like a new staff already.
Yeah, again. Well, I can tell you last year.
How many holdovers do we have? Legit. Like, how many?
It's more than half. I know that. But they've lost, like, the guts of the staff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they got the same running backs coach, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. And the same.
They moved the tight ends coach. Right, they
no, because Carl Durrell left, right?
Yes, and they're moving around. Jesus yes, Christ. And they're moving around all of the defensive backs, coach. They have a new DC.
Yeah, I mean, our DBs, coach. Our defensive backs coach is now the DC, right? And
yeah,
it's an all new staff.
They have the same defensive line coach,
same special teams coach, I guess.
Yeah. That's crazy person.
It's just Flores, but I mean everybody else has been changed. So
yeah,
you got Chan Gailey having come in and brought in a different framework for the entire offensive coaching. And then on the defensive side, really, you know, same thing, but with a promotion on the DC. Yeah, it's just all. I mean, Josh Boyer is the DC now, but they got new guys at linebackers. They and coach. They got new guys at, and the DBs coach underneath Josh Boyer. It's hard for me to be like, you know, start describing the traits of this coaching staff, and it's like these guys are new. We don't know.
Yeah,
you know, we know Flores.
Yeah, and I can't say, you know, all I can judge is the practices, and as I watch them, you know, they're crisp. You know, mm-hmm. Brian Flores, you could tell, you know, he runs a tighter ship than what Adam Gase did.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, pretty much anybody else does too. You know, so it's
oh, here's what we're not supposed to report also on, like, interactions between coaches and players at practice.
Oh, boy.
Seriously. So, like, you know, last when I saw a practice, you know, what's his name? Dave DeGuglielmo get on Isaiah Prince's ass and go make him stand by a post and, like, no, you stand over there because you're too dumb to come and drill with my offensive lineman. Like, we're not allowed to talk about that.
And when Michael Dieter was told, get the fuck out of my – out of my scrimmage, that was a great moment. Yeah, that was a great moment last year. Also,
not allowed to report. Flores
threatened to cut practice short after like 6 minutes because he said that everybody looked completely disinterested and they were elsewhere on a Saturday.
And then we lose in week 11, and Brian Flores is going to be like, "Yeah, I really wish Alf wouldn't have."
Yeah.
Wouldn't have given that away, you know, when our special teams coach dropped the F-bomb on Kamu Grugier-Hill back on August 17th.
Yes. Oh, boy. Hopefully that gets worked out, okay? Because I like bringing our listeners – well, I can't – I don't know what the hell I'm going to bring you. But I guess I'll just stand there at practice and – I'll occasionally take pictures of the grass so you know that I'm somewhere where the grassy field, because I don't think they're allowed pictures either of the players. But, you know, we'll figure this out. They're going to have to walk some of this back, I would say.
Some of it.
You can't blame the Rona and all of that. Like, I'm willing to sign a waiver. I'm willing to take all your tests. Okay? I'm not going to bring the Rona to Davy camp. Okay? I'm not going to infect Tua Tagovailoa. All right?
Oh, God. You know, now that is something that would ruin us in season, and that Brian Flores would talk about. You know what? This all went downhill when fucking Alf Arteaga brought the Rona, brought COVID into camp, and exactly. Tua Tagovailoa ended up infected.
Yeah,
like that is on you, buddy.
Yeah, somebody posted today on Twitter a picture of Nick Saban with Greg McElroy, and under it it said, "Please post a caption." And I don't know who it was, but somebody posted, you know, Greg, there's an 11-year-old Hawaiian kid who's so much better than your shitty ass.
Nice.
You know, and I'm pretty sure Saban was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, we got to call it. I think that's it.
Yep.
We will talk to you again toward the end of the month, meaning the end of July. So that's 2 weeks off for us.
Maybe there will be something to talk about.
Yeah, of course, knowing us, next week the Dolphins will trade for Aaron Donald or something like that. But trust me, if they do trade for Aaron Donald, we will come in with an emergency podcast. I guarantee it. Okay?
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe not.
No guarantees.
Probably not. We'll probably talk about it in 2 weeks. So
Simon, that's it. Won't.
There is no more. Talk to you guys in 2 weeks.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.